Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. For the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, IgerStudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.com. Today on the Inside Analog Photo radio program, we're going to have with us Brian Greenberg from Richard Photo Lab. We're going to talk about Brian's new move, what's going on with Richard Photo Lab, and really we're going to talk today about the print, because you don't have a photograph unless you have a print. Brian, how are you doing today?
Doing just fine.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you back on the program, and just wanted to sort of get an update of a couple things here with what's been going on with Richard Photo Lab. You guys have a new facility. You got some new stuff cooking. Another thing we want to chat about today, Brian, is printing. People shoot all these photos, film, whatever their capture device is, but if you don't make a print, you don't have a photograph. So I think that's one thing I want to talk to you today about, besides getting an update with what's been going on with Richard Photo Lab, is the trends you're seeing in printing. And I think that's a big thing for photographers. Let's chat about here, Brian, about what's been going on. You guys moved. You got a new location. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, well, let me say thanks for having me back. We always like talking to you on your show. We get a lot of good feedback. Yeah, we moved to a new location. We had two buildings before, about 2,500 square feet each. And now we're in one larger facility, about 8,000 square feet, in a very busy part of Los Angeles. And it seems to be getting a great response from clients. We've got a nice big lobby. We can talk about printing and help people with their digital files. Parking lot right in front, which is a rare thing here in Los Angeles. So making it a little bit easier for people to get here.
So the experience is even that much better now?
Hopefully. I think so. Seems like the clients like it. You can stand back and look around a little bit and not be so sort of cramped in the corner.
You guys get business from all over the country, but it's really great if you're in the area to be able to drive down and see somebody and talk to them and explain things. And it's a rarity anymore.
It definitely is. I mean, customer service is no longer really a priority in the photography industry. At least the photography services industry, my side of the world, where sure, photographers still talk with their clients and they talk amongst themselves, but where do most people think that they're going to get the best deal on, say, equipment? They're going to go online and try and find it the cheapest way, and they sort of do that with their lab services, and they sort of left behind having a relationship with professionals that sort of do this all day, that can help them make their images look amazing. And really, even though we have a large following here in the Los Angeles area, as our market grows across the country, we do have more people coming in. But really, I think what we're trying to give them is the same experience, encouraging them to call us on the phone, talk to the customer service people, and let us help you work through the details of whatever your project may be.
Let's just give an overview of what's available and what you guys are doing at Richard Photo Lab for photographers. Of course, you're developing film and doing all kinds of cool stuff there, but let's sort of give a brief overview of what you guys are currently up to.
Well, we certainly have been doing quite a bit of film processing as longtime supporters of film, and it definitely seems that a lot of people that are quality-oriented have sort of gone in that direction now. So we've seen a lot of new faces that are trying out film and enjoying the process. But besides that, of course, we are still doing a lot of file processing, color correction, and retouching, and definitely a very large amount of printing for different people and in different areas of photography, whether it's the fine art project, commercial project, weddings and wedding album work, and all those different areas of printing. And then we have all these different types of printing that we do, whether it's sort of a very basic kind of print where the clients are making their own color corrections, to where we'll make all the color corrections for you. And we still do color testing where we show a client 3 or 4 different versions of a print when it's a very critical item.
How often do you find that when you're doing this work for clients that people actually do interact, or they typically just send in their film, they get a scan and it's done, you don't hear from them?
That's actually kind of an interesting question. We try and call everyone that are new clients and ask them what they think about our work. We have a couple of people that are on the phone pretty much nonstop talking to people about what they thought about their work, what we can do to change it. We're re-scanning. Let's say you've got a busy professional and they've got a look that they're going for. We'll work with them over and over on the same small batch of images until we fine-tune the look that they're going for. So you can't just drop it on an FTP folder. You can't just email to somebody and say, here, print my stuff, make my stuff. I think, at least from my perspective, a real professional cares about how their images are handled and wants another professional that does this and has the experience to get all that can come out of an image. There's so much sort of spice you can add to an image, and just like anything, if you add too much spice, it doesn't taste quite right. But I think that the crew we have here has a really great amount of experience dealing with commercial work, fine art work, and wedding work, that they can get you what you're looking for. And even with wild sort of colors that you might get, like through a cross-process or a heavily processed digital file, there are people here that want to talk to you. And where do you get that anymore, really? That's not what the new age of customer service is really about. It's more about get all the information online. I mean, gosh, there's some companies that don't even put a phone number on their website. They don't want you to call. They want you to fill out a form and pick A or B, and that's what they'll do for you. And we really don't have that structure. That doesn't really fit within our overall goal of making things the best they can be, because we really don't know what the best yours can be until you look at it and tell us what you think. We worked hard to make it, but now you got to look at it and tell us what you think.
So let me ask this question then. We have a lot of people that are switching from digital to film, and then you get a lot of clients that send in just plain digital images to get printed. What have you seen quality-wise, without naming names or talking about anything in general, but I think as an in general consensus, are you seeing better images come through that are shot on film or better stuff on digital? Or maybe we have a lot of new people that are shooting film that don't get it yet.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I might have to say that film will universally smooth out the skin tone on an image that is very difficult to get when you're shooting digital. But what I think that's kind of related to that issue, and something that we talk about here all the time, if somebody sent me a roll of film and they're like, hey, I want to test this out, I want to test a new film, just process and scan that, send it my way, or even they want to see us process their digital files, sometimes I don't even tell them, I just print them and ship them, because really there has to be something to finalize this image. And with the variation in monitors and the way that people handle their files online and post them online, at some point it has to be finished. And for us, really, the print is the final product. So we do a lot of printing in the testing stages to show people what things look like. Sometimes somebody will send us a digital file. We'll print it the before and after so they can see how their files are looking. And so often people, they just haven't looked at that many prints, even of their own work. And I think they're missing out on a huge element in their business, really. Okay, so don't print everything. Maybe that's not needed anymore because of the powerful tools that you have with your computer. But even a small amount of prints can get you on the right track and help you make sure that what you're doing is going to look right.
Let's chat about this whole concept of the print. And I think, as an example, people always think, well, I want to look at the scans first, and they don't print things. Even an example that Jonathan Canlis shot your wedding, and you sent all the proofs back to Jonathan, and he had seen prints that he would not have printed, but when he saw them in a print, he was like, that's good, man. I think people don't realize, like you said, when they see an image in a print is different than seeing something on a monitor. It's not the same.
It's definitely not the same, and I just ask people to think about their own personal experiences. So that was a good experience for me that I get married and I have John shoot the wedding and then I see everything in proof and I enjoy that whole experience. So now there's dozens of people that have a handful of proof prints. And of course, I've got a box of proof prints at home and a book that has some stuff here and there. And just like everybody else that gets married, I'm still waiting to get my album done because I haven't put all my selections together, but I'll get around to it because I want to have that album. And going through that experience with John, I actually handed him that box when I went to his workshop in Utah. And watched him go through it, and he went through that box the same way that my wife and I went through that box, with a true appreciation of these images, and he shot it for a reason. A photographer shoots it because they see something, and to then not take it the rest of the way to print it, it doesn't really fully respect the image. They created this image. It should be printed. It was good enough to shoot. It's good enough to print. So I do talk with people, and they're like, there isn't a budget for this kind of thing. And I just try and talk with them about when was the last time you spent $4,000, $5,000, $15,000 on something, and how would you feel if all you got was a link to a web page or a CD or a DVD? Could you squeeze in $50 to give back something to your client that completes the experience, that shows them how their stuff should be? Because in this day and age, one thing that has come down is the price of printing. So here it is, as people are printing less and less, but really the price has come down drastically. It wasn't that long ago. You're talking about, let's say, 5 to 10 years ago, you could never get a print for less than a couple of dollars a piece. I mean, even today, there's 8x10s that are $1.85, $2.50, $3 range cost for a photographer, and 4x6s that are below 50 cents. So let's say you shoot somebody's wedding, and you're a digital photographer, or your film even, and you're just doing scans. If you did 30 4x6s at 35 cents a piece, that's a pretty inexpensive thing to give to your client to sort of boost their feeling of how the experience was having you shoot their event. I mean, it's almost like a business card. How many people still have a business card? With all the web stuff that's out there and all the marketing, do they have a business card? It's like, why do they still believe in a business card? It's their calling card. And a great print on somebody's refrigerator is still a calling card. It still leads people to walk by and go, I love that shot of you and your kid, and it's a great portrait, and wow, did your husband shoot that? No. So-and-so photography right here in town shot it. That's how this happened. That's where these referrals come from. And I just ask people to think about it from the buyer's perspective. So often when we see large groups of photographers talking, they forget about the buyer's experience, and they focus on what all the other photographers are doing. And really, if you think about it, sometimes you see photographers saying, to bring my cost down, they've gone and they've gathered up every cost-cutting technique that they've found out there and made that part of their business model. And I don't know that the most successful photographers that I know function that way. I think they build a business model that works for their business. Sure, there's always places to cut costs. Don't do $1,000 in printing. Do a few hundred dollars in printing or do $50 in printing. But eliminating it all together, I think, is a mistake. And even as my example of the business cards. So you don't print 10,000 business cards, but I bet you probably print 100 at a time. You still have a business card on you because that's one of the ways that you get business. And I think it's what people expect. If you think about that, I mean, if you're meeting somebody that's a prospective client, they expect you to have a business card. So you do. And then if you're a photographer, I would kind of hope that I would get some prints. Because when I go to my grandmother's house and I see a photo on her refrigerator that she printed off of some random event that she went to, and she printed on her desktop printer, and it's all wrinkled from the coffee stain, and it's going to be in the trash pretty soon. Whereas prints that are professionally printed, they last for generations.
So let's talk about these offerings. What are you guys currently offering? Because, I mean, look back at history. All these people that are famous photographers, Weston and Avedon and Ansel Adams, you can go on forever, okay? They had prints. If you didn't have a print, you had nothing. You don't have a photograph without a print. So what do you guys offer in the way of prints? What can I get printed at Richard Photo Lab? Do I get a mini lab 4x6? What can you guys do? What do you have for paper? What's the options I have to have things printed? Because really, no matter how you do it, you need to have an output as a print. Otherwise, you don't have a photograph. If you have a digital whatever.
Well, those examples you gave, Ansel Adams and Avedon and stuff like that, those are great examples because really, exactly, if they were photographers that did not print, and especially in that era, what would you have? You'd have a painting, you'd have a poem or a story. It wouldn't be a photograph if they didn't make a print. And in fact, we actually do printing the exact same way that people from that era printed by hand, one at a time, fiber-based, black and white. It's a very special type of process. Of course, it does have to be on film, but we even take digital files and burn them to film when somebody really wants to make a fiber-based print. It's a very special part of the lab, but for the most part, we do have inexpensive digital printing that's done on chemically processed color paper, which is far more durable than your inkjet or watercolor type of papers. We use that paper from 4x6, or I guess wallet size, all the way up to 4x10 feet. And we do that with your matte and glossy and super gloss and pearl, the Fuji pearl paper, which is pretty cool. And we actually do Duratrans as well, which is when you put the print in front of a light box, where you might see that in a hotel or something like that. And then in the fine art department, we have several different watercolor papers and canvas materials for special projects. And we work with clients on a one-on-one basis to determine what paper might work best for this particular project.
Brian, let's pick a genre of wedding and portrait, probably more so even wedding, but people that are shooting a fair amount of film, large film volume, they typically go for the package with you guys where they have it developed. You have a scan either with the Noritsu or the Fuji scanner, and then you guys make a proof. What do you find ratio-wise of people making proofs and not making proofs? And then again, how many people take those files, adjust them, and send them back to you for proofs?
That's an interesting question. There's a fair amount of people that are doing proof prints. I would say that more people do process and scan than do process, scan, and print. What is kind of an interesting thing from my perspective is the level of success that people have depending on the services that we're doing for them. And even really year over year, the success that people have had when they do different services. So, for instance, I had a photographer that was very, very successful with shooting 100 events a year, doing proof prints on and scanning on everything that we did for him, and then decided to not do proof prints as a cost-saving measure. And long-term, what we see is a decline in the amount of work that he's been shooting. Now, certainly there's a lot of different things that might be affecting that, but if I take that same example and I start adding more and more photographers to it, I do see a bit of a trend that the higher-end, more successful photographers are people that maintained a certain product that they delivered to their clients that are spending a certain amount of money, they expect to have something. So I think a nice place to land in between is the example you gave, which is a number of people that are now doing a soft edit, pulling out 200 of their favorite shots and printing those and putting them in a nice box to deliver to clients. I think that is a great thing to do as an in-between step between delivering 750 proof prints and delivering nothing. Pick that number between 50 and 100 or 200, wrap it up in a nice little box, and I think that your clients are going to freak out because they're going to be so excited. We offer a number of different custom borders on these proof prints. We don't charge extra for them. So a number of them are custom, like people pick what they want their stuff to look like, and we make special effort to make it look like a custom print, but it's inexpensive, like a basic machine print.
And you do have clients that actually have everything developed, scanned, and printed straight above the board. They don't do any soft edits when they get back to the studio or back to their home. They just have you do it and print it.
Definitely. I mean, there's no doubt about it that there are a number of people that do that, and that's part of the way that their workflow works because that's what they deliver. Kind of almost in reverse, they have 1,000 prints and they'll pull out 100 eyes closed type of thing and give them everything. They'll even take our envelopes, which are clean and white, there's no branding on them, and they'll just put them in a nice box with some tissue around it or something to make it look nice, and they'll deliver the whole thing just like that. It's part of the workflow that they've designed. When they talk about it to me, they talk about how fast it is for them to do a quick edit, how easy it is for them to just deliver these prints and know that they're good to go. And they're not really getting hung up on, let's say, the disc, where they're going to go back and they're going to edit the disc after they edit the print. It's okay. They show on a CD with all the images that there's a few images that have their eyes closed. It's interesting, too, because I run into a lot of people that do retouching and color correction and file management that's far, far beyond what anybody will ever see. And I think that printing would show that particular photographer a number of ways where they could not do so much post-processing. Because let's say you did 2 hours of post-processing and I made you some prints of it. I could show you what that looked like. And you could tell me if you can tell the difference between your 2 hours of post-processing and your 10 or 20 hours of post-processing. A lot of times, people, they just do too much. They add too many spices to the soup.
Well, the thing, too, is I think people don't realize, Brian, that let's say you have this beautiful film you shot, you have it scanned, you have all this latitude, you can see all this great stuff, and it doesn't matter who prints it. Paper only has so many stops of latitude. And I think a lot of stuff is lost when it's printed. And you don't need to do all this post-processing. And if you just shoot it right, use the right kind of emulsion, you're going to get a beautiful print, and you don't need to do anything to it.
That's definitely for sure. I mean, you can take the film scans that we're producing and go straight to web, straight to print. People are going to love it the way it is. The thing that people forget about when they're shooting digital is that with so many actions and tricks and all these widgets you can buy to apply to your files, they're overdone. And if you're a person that cooks or follows these cooking shows, they talk about it all the time. Keep it simple and refined, and you'll get an amazing response. It's when it's overdone that people get distracted, that you take it too far, and you're hurting yourself in different ways, because your client's not as happy as they would be because the files are overcooked, and you just spent an incredible amount of time in post-production cooking those files, and all for nothing.
Well, look at the example of John that shot your wedding. He got back stuff in the proof box that he would not have sent back to have printed, but when he saw the stuff, he's like, dude, that rocked. So he even surprised himself when you gave him proofs that, yes, you can print your stuff out and it looks beautiful and I don't need to touch it.
Yeah, I give him a hard time about that on more than one occasion because that's exactly right. And it's funny that he told you about that because that has happened too many times to count. It's funny, we're in these conversations with these professional photographers. We're telling them how great stuff is and it's almost like they forget that they're actually good at what they do. And they would be good if they shot film. They'd be good if they shot digital. But it's the total mindset that they apply to it that almost negatively affects their images when they start overthinking certain things. The cooking analogy is really my favorite one of the year because we can all go to the store and buy all the different stuff to throw in a pot and make some soup. But man, you can really mess it up good. You can really make it bad when you start adding the wrong elements. And if you read 10 different cookbooks to make one soup, what do you think that's going to taste like? It's probably going to taste pretty bad.
Oh, terrible.
So focus on one thing, and I bet you your stuff's going to come out really nice.
So as an example, let's chat about a develop and scan, and then a develop, scan, and proof. How much more are we talking about? We're not talking that much.
I hope you're sitting down. I mean, the difference between scan, develop, and print is $4.
Dude, let's use this analogy. 30 rolls. Is that what you find average? Is that about right? 30 rolls for a wedding?
It's pretty close.
Okay, so let's just say 40. You're talking $160.
Right.
Okay, now you have a physical product to give your client. Put it in a nice, fluffed up, girly box, and you're a hero.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. I don't get it. I don't understand why people don't want to print.
Well, I think it's, like I said, I think that you do research on all the different ways to bring your cost down, and that seems to be the way to go. Whereas, if I went back to that business card analogy, people will do a glossy, two-sided, four-color, folded, letter-pressed business card. They would have no problem spending $500 on a business card because what do they say? This represents my business. But when it comes to the event that they work so hard to get, they're going to take as many shortcuts as they can. That's just dangerous. It's just dangerous long-term. And I think part of it is that certainly when I talk to people, they forget that I am also an operator of a small business. Well, sure, maybe people have heard of this place, and yes, we have employees and a building, and a lot of event photographers work from home, but a lot of them have studios. Really, we're talking about the same things. We both have small businesses. We don't have so many people working here that we're in a different classification. It's all small business stuff, and I think that when people start taking those shortcuts and they're hurting their business, I think that's just perhaps business experience, or they're just trying to make the right decision for their business, but you kind of have to be careful sometimes where you're getting advice from. I mean, even me, people think I'm trying to sell them prints, and I'm like, if I'm trying to get $50 worth of printing, that doesn't make or break us, but what it does is it helps the photographers coming to me become more successful, and long-term, we want to see photographers succeed, and I think maybe that's what's a little different about my business model, is that I'm in the business to help photographers and to make them succeed, where, like maybe a mega lab, I don't believe that that would be part of their corporate culture. It's more of, let's see how many prints we can sell today. As opposed to picking up the phone and calling a photographer that has been working with you for a number of years and go, hey, we just saw your last shoot and the color's a little off, so go check this out or that out. That's the kind of the thing that we do.
Exactly, but I still think that people really need to stand back and look at deliverables. People pay so much money for a wedding, especially if you're a niche shooter and you're shooting film, you should be getting a premium and you're not competing against the digital AWOLs on Craigslist, so there's room in there to have stuff printed, and I think it's not that big a deal cost-wise. And if you're going to spend that much money, invest so much time in some very special day for a client, and if you're not going to give them proofs, I think it's criminal.
I think long term it is definitely not in their best interest. Well, your Craigslist example is a great one, because don't you want to differentiate yourself from the lowball photographer out there that's sort of doing this on the side? They're most likely not making a living shooting events by advertising on Craigslist and shooting a wedding for $300 or $400, handing over a DVD at the end of the day. There is a market for that. I don't think anybody that's listening to your show is making a living doing that. I think that they're looking at a much broader area of people that they want to shoot in a more professional level of product. And you have to keep in mind, what would you want as a client? And that's, like I said, I think that people forget that a lot.
People shoot all these weddings and they want to submit these work, and even if they're doing commercial work or editorial, and you need to send stuff to a photo editor, a magazine editor, somebody, okay? So these people put together an email or a CD and they send it to people. You know where it goes? Right in the can. Bing. They throw CDs across the office into the trash can, okay? Really, I mean, people should be doing prints. These guys that are doing weddings with you, right? Pick out 6 or 8 or 10 8x10s. It's going to cost you $20 or whatever, okay? Send those off to the magazines. Don't send them CDs. People don't get it. You need to grab people's attention. And when people get a true print, they get a photograph in the mail. It can be a client, an editor, anybody. They're going to stop and look at it.
I definitely agree. I mean, that's why the portfolio for commercial photographers has always been such a staple of how photographers get their business. On the commercial side, there's all these places where commercial photographers advertise directly to art directors, and it's print. That's how they do it. They pay for print ads. And think of all the companies that you know of that are successful. They open up PDN or any photo magazine, there's print ads in there. In fact, there's a magazine. You bought that magazine. Could you read it online? You probably could. But what's your experience? What do you feel? What kind of experience do you feel when you buy a magazine? You carry it around with you, you get on an airplane and read it, you save it. How many people save their magazines? There's so many examples of why printing is a logical form of communication. And I just challenge people to walk around their own house. Somebody call me and tell me that they don't own a book, they don't own a magazine, they didn't save any of it. Call me up and yell at me and tell me I'm nuts because they bought an art book and they threw it away, they gave it away, that they never saved a magazine the day in their life. My wife saves every cooking magazine that she's ever bought, and that's okay. That's her connection to it. And with photography, here's something that it's incredibly personal. It's one-on-one. The people that you're shooting for, in the end, they really do want prints. They may not know it because the general public is trying to save money and they're trying to get their best deal, so they're afraid to spend an extra X amount of money because you're including prints. So it is hard to balance it all out. But to eliminate it altogether, I think it's just not in your best interest long term. It may feel right the first time, but think about it if you were on the other side. You could probably save money if you bought a car with no seats. It wouldn't be the same experience.
Exactly. And like you said, people buy magazines, prints there for a reason, and you don't have a photograph till you have a print. And it's not the same as looking at a print. A print is a reflective device. It reflects light. You see things differently, especially black and white. And to see it on a monitor that lights behind it, it's like looking at stuff on a light box. It's just not the same, and it's not even the same as looking at a piece of chrome. So I can't even see how you can really honestly judge an image as a photograph until it's printed.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly don't. I think that that's why art galleries, they're showing prints. It's still a very powerful way to communicate, and you can't forget that. As a photographer, that's the whole point. That's your whole profession.
How are you going to sell a photograph if you don't have a print?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll email you a file. You can put it on your monitor. Cool.
Right. And they probably all have print samples in their office. And I think that if you want to see a bride cry, you're probably going to have better luck if you handed her 300 proof prints and she went through her whole day. The whole wedding day is represented in a box of proof prints that was $100-something cost to you. And they go through the whole day, they're going to be crying. They're going through all these prints and they didn't see that photo of grandma and this one of their sister. And they love that shot. This is a very effective way of communicating, and I think that it's just something to think about. It's hard when you're in business, sure, but if you don't figure out what it is your clients want, then how long are you going to be in business for? It's hard, but it's important.
So, Brian, tell me, you guys have some great people down there, yourself, Bill, that's running the lab. I mean, they can call up and talk to you guys to see what's up. I think people need to pick the phone up. They're scared to use the phone. They're scared to talk to people because anymore, there's no customer service anywhere. You guys are all about customer service. Where would someone contact you, your blog, the website, Let's talk about Still Love Film. It's very cool as well. I want to talk about this before we go today.
Okay. Well, Still Love Film is a side project that we started working on because there are so many people that are shooting film and loving it and looking for a place to sort of just chit-chat and show examples. And we are a full-service photo lab. Since we're working on commercial and fine art and digital and everything, film is just sort of something we care a lot about, but we felt like creating a forum in which we could just chat about it nonstop. And that's the Still Love Film thing that we set up with our website and the blog and Facebook and all that stuff. And we're just having fun with that, just giving away some T-shirts and having people send us photos of where they put our stickers. And who knows what we'll come up with next to promote it. But it also has a little information on how, if you are interested in shooting film and you don't know how to start, there's articles going up every week about the technique of shooting film. There's certainly information going up every week about why various photographers love film in their own words. And then there's information if you don't know where to find camera gear, we can help connect you with a place that rents camera gear so that you can try film out if you're afraid of committing to buy a camera. If you've never done it before, you're not sure which one you like. It's kind of hard. It's like, hey, can I borrow your $5,000 camera? It's not the easiest thing to do to find somebody that has a certain kind of camera and then talk them into letting you borrow it for a week or so. So we worked this out with a rental company here in Los Angeles. And so we're shipping out cameras to people that are renting them. And in fact, the most popular one is, well, we have a promo running with that, is that Contax 645, probably the most popular one. It's about $135 a week to rent. And we're, Richard Photo is giving the customer directly $100 off any order that they send to us with their first rental. So essentially, you could try out a film camera for $35 when you kind of add all the discounts together. So it seems like a pretty easy way to just give it a try. And certainly, there's other ways. There's the Lomos and the Holga cameras that are so great and fun. In fact, we see a huge amount of digital shooters that they carry one of those cameras along, like a toy camera, because it's part of their personal expression. It's sort of an artistic view of a wedding. It helps them keep their energy up and helps them sort of see it from a different perspective. And they'll shoot just a handful of rolls, two or three rolls on a wedding, and they're a diehard digital shooter, but the film is really for them. It's like their personal thing.
Yeah, well, they should have enough intestinal fortitude to set down the digital camera, stop your chimping, and shoot the whole gig on film, and not have to look at the back of your camera to go, oh my, did I get it?
It's interesting. Even amazing photographers forget how amazing they are. And I think more and more people are looking into the whole film thing, because they see that you put it in, you shoot it, it's fixed, the color's right, it looks great right from the get-go.
So we got the stilllovefilm.com, and then your website, the blog, where's all the stuff at? Let's make sure we give everybody all this information so they know where to go, find out what you guys are up to, and if they have questions, they can call you, they can call Bill, they can find out what's going on and actually get some real service.
Definitely. We're always answering the phones when anybody wants to call. All our information is at richardphotolab.com. And that'll link you over to stilllovefilm.com. And there's a partners page with some cool projects that we're working on. And definitely check out the blog. That's probably the most fun for us because we can talk about the different projects we're working on. And you can sort of see, if you scroll through all that, the months and months of information that's up there, you can see all kinds of interesting projects that we've worked on, from a show that came off the cover of Time magazine for President Obama, to a book project for somebody else, to a wedding for this or that. Just kind of the wide variety of the work that we do is we try and represent it on the blog, so it's pretty cool.
No, it's great stuff, and the lab's great, and the work that you guys put out are killer, and the customer service, and people should give it a try. Just if they send off a few rolls and say, here, test this out, I think they'll be quite surprised with what they get back in the customer service, and like you said, being able to get someone on the horn and have them talk to you about their images and say, hey, look at this, or if something needs to be uploaded so they can see it, you guys can make adjustments and work with people. And I think it's very refreshing. And back to the whole print, is that people need to print. If you don't have a print, you don't have a photograph. You can't sell it. You can't show it around. People need to get back into printing, man. I'm telling you straight up.
Well, that's a pretty good way of putting it all in perspective. So I'd have to agree with all that.
Brian, thanks so much. I appreciate it, buddy. We look forward to having some more stuff. We're going to be doing a Richard Photo Lab behind the scenes Inside Analog Photo TV segment here soon and let people see what's going on at Richard and what you guys do every day. And this is pretty cool stuff. And I do appreciate you joining us today and give us an insight of what's been going on in your guys' new building, the Still Love Film site, and all this cool stuff about printing. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks for taking the time.
Well, there you go. Brian Greenberg, Richard Photo Lab. Great stuff going on with Richard Photo Lab, new location, beautiful work. And of course, you don't have a photograph. Unless you have a print, you should really think about what we chatted about. Very interesting topic. And of course, great things going over at their website, www. RICHARDPHOTOLAB, RichardPhotoLab.com. The Inside Analog Photo radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.